Well, hello there. Welcome to another episode of Getting Social with Miriam. It is so wonderful to have you here. And today, we're going to be talking about business and success. So what does it take to be really successful in your business? Now, there's a lot of business owners out there who aren't truly successful. And you know what? These business owners, a lot of them are making pretty good money, but there's other factors playing in their lack of success. So I am very pleased today to be speaking with Jaden Sterling, who is an award-winning international best-selling author of The Alchemy of True Success, Activate Your Mind, Revitalize Your Body, and Reignite Your Spirit. I'm going to be speaking with him today, and he's also the founder of Life Success Academy, where people become more and more confident, they're focused and prosperous. And we're going to be focusing on a lot of what really attributes to success in business. Jaden also teaches and consults from his personal and professional experiences, having earned a spot in the top 1% income earners in the United States at age 26, and by age 31, he retired from corporate America. Jaden is an intuitive business coach famous for teaching entrepreneurs how to work on their business and not in it. Jaden is also, he's a sought-after media expert featured regularly on radio, television, and in print, including Calgary TV, Fox Business, Africa Business Daily, The Huffington Post, Om Time Magazine, and many others. I'd love to take this opportunity to welcome Jaden. Hello, Jaden.
Hello, Miriam.
It's so wonderful to have you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me. I'm looking forward to our show today.
Yeah, all right, wonderful, because I've got a bunch of questions to ask you, and I'm going to start off by asking you, what inspired you to write The Alchemy of True Success?
You know, that's a good question. I get that often, and the thing that most inspired me was my friends and family, because I saw and heard their struggle with achieving success, and I thought, you know, there's an easier way to achieve success in life. And so I put pen to paper, and next thing I knew, after about 6 months, I had written the book, which you mentioned, The Alchemy of True Success.
Okay. That's great. So you also mentioned in your book that you have a team of spiritual professionals who helped you write your book. Could you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah. So, you know, Napoleon Hill, in his book, Think and Grow Rich, he refers to this same thing that I'm referring to, and it's these unseen forces that are there to assist all of us with our endeavors, whether no matter how big or how small. And I recognized early on in my business career that I was getting guidance, really powerful guidance from, you know, I initially thought it was from myself, but then later on, after looking at it a little more closely, I realized, well, it's actually what I call from the universe. And It was, you know, like creative ideas and things that I thought that I had no context or basis of which to come up with it. So I knew it was coming from a source outside of myself, and it was always positive, it was always inspirational, and it was always highly functional, because any ideas that I got from what I refer to now as the one voice that were really useful ideas that I implemented in business. And as you mentioned, I had a high degree of success at a young age. You know, at 26, here I am, you know, in the top 1% income earners in the United States, which was 20 years ago when that meant something. You know, that $250,000 a year was actually worth something, worth far less today. But yeah, so this team that I've assembled, and the awesome thing is these guides that we all have available to us, but seldom do people call on them. They work for free. They never call in sick. They're always available to us. You know, I mean, it's like the greatest, best untapped business source out there. And I'm amazed that more and more people don't tap into it. I mean, some people will say, like Richard Branson, highly successful businessman, will say that he uses his intuition. And, you know, it's kind of a similar thing.
You know, this is really interesting that you're talking about that, because I am a firm believer in spirit guides, if you will. And, you know, this is actually very interesting, because if you're not in a good state of mind, if you're feeling negative and pessimistic, I also believe that you could be calling on guides that don't have your best interests that are tricking you, and you could end up failing and being not successful. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, that's an interesting point that you bring up, and you're right, because everything is vibration.
Mm-hmm.
There are, just as us people, you know, we all vibrate at a certain level, and this is not any woohoo stuff. This is pure scientific fact,
mm-hmm.
you know, that everything is by energy and vibration. And when you encounter someone who has a very high energy or vibration, you start to feel kind of good around that person, don't
yeah.
you? You can really sense, it's palpable. You sense their energy, and it's like, people call that charisma.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. then there's the flip side, too, where if someone is low energy, you know, they're not really excited about anything, they're kind of, you know, maybe even have borderline depression going on,
mm-hmm.
those people are susceptible to attracting more things that are of low vibration, whether it's in the unseen realm or the
mm-hmm.
physical realm.
Mm-hmm, that makes sense. That makes sense. And there's a lot of talk about law of attraction, and unfortunately, there seems to be a lot of misinformation or inaccurate information on it. So obviously, you mastered it well, because really,
yes.
it is what it is. Like attracts like. What
yes.
you, how you vibrate is what you're going to attract. I mean, that is what it is. That is what it is. Now, there are sources like The Secret, for instance, that didn't really give the whole true meaning about it, because you can't attract things just by visualing it alone. You have to actually take action and be realistic about it, too, because there's other laws that play into it.
Yes.
But I just would love to know how working with the law of attraction, which you obviously have mastered quite well, I'd love to know how it exactly, the principles exactly contributed to your success.
You know, Miriam, that's a phenomenal question, and I'm gonna answer that one for you, and then I want to take an extra step and really give value here to our listeners.
Okay.
Your question: how has it, you know, made a difference in my life? Hugely. It's made a difference from meeting my wife to building multiple million-dollar businesses to having great health at age 47. It's impacted every area in my life, and I do so with the intention deliberately to create those experiences. Now, I haven't always been there in my life. You know,
mm-hmm.
When I was younger, I was 12 years old. My parents went through a really nasty divorce. My dad
mm-hmm.
left. We never saw him again. My mom had no money. We were left penniless,
mm-hmm.
and my life was going downhill quickly, and I started getting involved in the wrong, you know, hanging out with the wrong kids at school, going down the wrong path,
mm-hmm.
To the point where I got suspended from school, almost expelled, because I was so messing up in the world, you know. And then finally my mom gave me a book, and she said, here, read this book. And it was called The Seeds of Greatness by Dennis Waitley.
Mm-hmm.
And Miriam, at that moment when I read that book, it was like my soul did a happy dance. You know,
mm-hmm.
it was like, there was such resonancy for me in reading this book that I started to realize, oh my gosh, I'm the creator of my experiences. You know, I'm responsible for my life. I can't be a victim. If I want to be a victim, then I knew what that path looked like, because I was down that path, way down that path. And I had to really pull myself up by my bootstraps mm-hmm. and start to be more discerning in my life, because the reality is, what we personally don't take charge of happens by default.
And I believe that. I believe
yes.
that. And I think
so,
all of us have been in that place. I believe all of us have been. And it's a learning experience. Because the thing is, if you're holding on to toxic emotions like resentment and jealousy, that's just going to hurt you.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to hurt you. And so what our listeners, hopefully, you know, and you're right, the longer you live, there's 100% certainty that everyone will have challenges in their life. I mean, that's
oh, for sure.
life. That's part of, you know, what we're here to experience. And the reality is, too, it's how we deal with those situations. So I have learned that manifestation is, see, The Secret, you mentioned, did a great job in introducing this concept. But they only took it so far. But they could only take it so far during that time because mass consciousness was not ready to hear the rest of the story, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
they did the best they could with that time and place. You know, that was, what, 10, 12 years ago that came out. So now we're in a completely different energetic space where more people are waking up. There's, you know, we even talk about conscious commerce and conscious capitalism and emotional intelligence in the workplace. And now we can talk about meditation where we couldn't before. So there is a shift happening in life. And what people, I think, need to understand and what I've learned over 47 years now with this is manifestation is a physiological process. It's, you know, it can start with the thoughts. We put the thought out there, I desire to attract my perfect partner. I desire to build an eight-figure business. You know, whatever it is, I desire perfect health. You know, we need to set that intention out there. But then we need to take the journey from the head to the heart because the heart is the largest manifestation organ that we have in our body. In fact, it's been scientifically documented that feelings felt from the heart are felt outwards of 2 kilometers outside of the body. It's been measured with instruments.
That's
so you
interesting.
Go, yeah, you go, holy smokes. If that's the case, you know, if our heart is that powerful, then we have to look at, you know, connecting in the thought, which is, like I mentioned, perfect health, perfect partner, automatic wealth, eight-figure business, whatever you want. We then have to drop it down into the body and get excited about it. We have to get passionate about it. Can you hear the passion in my voice, Miriam?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, so we have to get fired up about what we're doing in life. And if you're single, get excited about being with you because, I mean, I, you know, people say to me, how did you meet your wife? And I said, well, I stopped dating. That's how I met her.
Okay.
And
okay.
It's so contrary, isn't it? Because most people are like, well, I'm speed dating. I'm online dating. I'm doing all this stuff, you know, but I'm not meeting my perfect partner. And it's like, that's because you haven't worked on yourself to get yourself to a state of vibration that is in harmony with that perfect person waiting for you.
And I think one mistake that a lot of people make too is that they get so obsessed with the outcome that they actually block themselves from achieving what they want because they want it to happen in a certain way. And it is important to detach yourself from the outcome. And it sounds counterintuitive, but I know from experience it's true. If you just say, okay, this is what I want, I'll just let the universe bring it to me however it is going to and whatever way, then that's really the best thing to do while you're working on your stuff.
You are so right. You have absolutely nailed this because everything that is counterintuitive works.
Yeah.
And
then
it's
a counterintuitive sounding thing, but you're right. It does. And you know what? It's really, really cool to know that everybody can access their spiritual team to help them achieve success because why are you more special than someone else? No offense. No offense.
Bingo. I mean, I'm dashingly handsome. But other than that, you know, I've got a face for radio. Other than that, you know, everyone can. But this is where people get hung up on it because in order to work with your spiritual guides, your spiritual team, you have to ask. A-S-K. And that's where people have such a challenge in asking for assistance because we have free will here on this 3D Earth dimension, which means that at any time, all possibilities exist simultaneously for a particular outcome. That means at any time that you're working in your business, you can be successful or you could fail. At any time, you know, dating, you could be successfully, happily married or a failed, whatever it is, all these outcomes exist. And neither is better or worse than the other. There's no judgment around them. It's just what do you choose to experience?
Right, right. And you're right, because a lot of people, unfortunately, just can't let go of the idea that they're not worthy enough to experience success. And I think this is what really gets into the way of a lot of business owners as well. Oh, they love the idea of creating a business, but they're not doing too well.
Yes.
Because they're not happy. They're not making the money that they want. They're in the red. So that's, you know, you bring some good points. But the fact of the matter is you also have to accept that you're going to experience failure because that's just part of the experience. You know, you have to learn things, and that's all part of the process.
Yeah, and we need to reframe this notion of failure because in my mind, mm-hmm. there is no failure. What there is are lessons to be learned.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Thomas Edison, as we know, 10,000 tries with a light bulb, and someone said after the 1,000th try, well, you failed so many times. You know, why do you keep going? And he said, oh, no, I haven't failed at all. I've just learned 1,000 ways to not make the light bulb.
Right. Well, that's really the best attitude to have.
I think so. I think failure keeps us stuck, and it contributes mm-hmm. to the fear of success because then people are afraid to continue because they, you know, none of us want to look bad. It's an emotional state that we need to really get through. And, you know, I think that anyone listening to this show can instantaneously change their situation when they do this one thing, which has made the biggest impact in my business, and I built an eight-figure business, and that was I focused on bringing high level of value to people without any expectation.
That's tough for people to do. That's very tough.
It is tough, but energetically, when you align yourself with being of service to others, it puts you at the highest level of vibration right next to joy and love. Those are some of the highest emotions that are of highest vibration. And then what that does is it connects you out to everyone else in the universe that is vibrating at that level, that plays at that level. And that high level of playing is, I mean, think about the abundant mindset people, think about the philanthropists out there, think about the people who are doing big things and making changes in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You're right. And they last forever. Look at Steve Jobs. No one's ever going to forget about him.
Exactly. No one mm-hmm. is ever going to forget. I mean, he was incredible, and he, too, always talked about following his intuition. Gary Vaynerchuk, I'm sure you follow Gary V. He on his last episode of V Nation, he was talking about there was someone asking him a question about, you know, what percent of the time do you follow your intuition versus the cold hard facts in business? And he said 80% of the time intuition.
Okay.
80%. Wow. So he's doing exactly what we're talking about. He is tuned in, dialed in, and tapped in. And he's following that direction, and he's built, I would say, a fairly successful business, $50 million ad agency right now.
Yeah, and, you know, there's one other thing I want to talk about as well, talking about intuition. A lot of people tend to confuse intuition with their desires and emotions, and they kind of delude themselves into thinking, well, you know, this is what's going to happen, or this is what it's meant to happen, but you're really getting too caught up with your emotions. So how do you distinguish between the two? Again, I guess it just goes back to being detached.
That's a great question. You know, the interesting thing about intuition and what you described is ego. And ego plays two roles in our life. It either builds us up to the point where we're better than everyone else, or it tears us down to the point where we think so little of ourselves that we're afraid to, you know, speak our truth and rock the world. And neither way are good outcomes. The intuitive voice is fleeting. It comes in very quickly and it leaves very quickly. It's like a flash. It's a spark. It's that little voice inside that will drop in the idea that brings the next $1 million or the next idea for you to expand your business or find new people. You know, it's just incredible. It's fleeting. And that's why in order to work with the intuition, and this what we're talking about here, is you have to find a way to record it. So I have little index cards that I have stashed all over the house. They're on my nightstand. They're in the washroom. They're in my coat pockets when I go for a walk. And I make sure that I write down whenever I get these fleeting ideas. In fact, Miriam, have you ever had an idea in the middle of the night, such a great idea, and you said to yourself, oh, my God, that's brilliant. And you're like, oh, I'll remember it in the morning. And then you woke up. Did you remember it?
No.
No, exactly. They come, that's because it's like now, so whenever I have those ideas, I force myself to wake up and I write them down, and then I've got ideas for the next day in terms of, you know, what I'm doing in my business.
Wow, okay. Now I'm going to ask you, what's the difference between taking inspired action versus taking action when you think you should?
So, good question. Taking action is like, it's that person who confuses being busy with being productive.
Okay.
Right? So busyness is, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. It's that impulse where they feel like they have to always be doing something, and that will help propel their business forward. Mm-hmm. Whereas inspired action is entirely different. You know, you may get an inspiration to take the next 2 hours off and sit in silence and connect in with the universe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or go take a hot bubble bath, or go take a walk, or, you know, do something that you think in the moment isn't helping you move the dial forward in your business, but in actuality, you're connecting in with the higher realms, and they're going to give you ideas, creative ideas to take action on, and then it's those ideas that you take action toward, and that's what I call guided action. They're two very, very different things.
Okay. Now, I just would like to know, what are your thoughts on goal setting?
So, you know, this is a hot topic that that I find fascinating because it's misunderstood. And I'll tell you why it's misunderstood. So in my 20s, I thought, oh, yeah, you know, that was the way 26 years ago, the way to go about business, set goals, you know, set daily goals and set annual goals and have a goal for your life and for your business. And I did all that. And the challenge I had, and I reached them. That's the amazing thing. Like, I actually got to experience what I wanted to experience. My goal was to retire from corporate America, be a millionaire by age 30. Well, at 31, that's what I did. Then my goal was to build a $10 million business. Well, by age 37, I built a $10 million business. The problem with that is once I built that business, I looked around and I said, oh, my God, what do I do now? Because I had never thought past that $10 million business.
Oh, okay.
So in actuality, I think goal setting is counterproductive. It's almost, you know, it's really, I'll echo the words of Ted Turner's father. Ted Turner told him, you know, he was the founder of CNN and the Turner News broadcast and super affluent man, billionaire. And his father said, make sure you set your goals so high that in one lifetime you'll never achieve them. And again, another counterintuitive statement, but let's break it down a little bit, because when you do that, that means you're constantly striving toward that vision that you have for your life. And that vision has to be so big that we're saying, make sure you don't ever achieve it. You know, because, again, once you achieve something, you're going to look around and go, oh, well, that was it? That's all I did? So you're either going to be pissed off because you set your goal too low, because you actually accomplished it, right? Or, you know, you're going to be upset because you honestly don't know at that point what to do next. Neither scenario is really all that good. So what I like to do is I call it vision setting. And what I do is I visualize what I desire to experience in every aspect of my life, in, you know, personally, professionally, as in my family, as a father, as a husband, as a business owner, as a thought leader. You know, what is it that I want to experience? And then I break it down to, how am I going to feel when I'm in that situation? How am I going to travel? Do I travel first class? Do I stay at the finest hotels? Do I work with people who truly get me and I get them, and people whose businesses and lives I can help accelerate? So do you see the difference in that?
Absolutely. And we have a few minutes left, but there's one other thing I really want to touch up on. And you know what? People listening to you are probably saying, wow, wow, wow. Again, I'm not sure if I could do this, but, you know, what do you say to them? Because it's obviously fear getting into the way. So how do you stop? How were you able to manage fear? Because I'm sure you had it too. We all do.
I still do every day. So I've actually created a five-step easy, super easy formula. And I call it the remember in school when the fire department came through and you did fire drills, and what did they tell you to do?
Oh, that's right. You have to leave. You have to get out of the school.
Okay, but first thing, if there's smoke, you stop, drop, and roll.
Oh, right.
Right?
Right. You know what? Oh, that's terrible. I forgot that.
Well, now you don't have to worry if you're in a
burning
building.
Thank you for the reminder.
You're welcome. Stop, drop, and roll. So that's the same thing with fear. What we have to do, because fear is an emotional component, it's nothing real. You know, I don't need to go on the whole psychology behind it, but here's some valuable steps for your listeners. First thing to do, whenever you feel the fear, feelings of fear bubble up, for most people it's in their abdomen because that's where we hold our control, abdomen, heart area. If you start to feel where it's coming up, then you have to visualize the stop sign. Can you visualize the stop sign?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the stop part. You got to stop it. So you have to tell your brain, stop. Stop those emotions, because once that fear connects in with the brain, it connects in with the amygdala. The amygdala is where we process our emotions, and then it goes down through our spinal column, and then it gets pervasive throughout our entire body to the point where we are paralyzed and cannot even move. And we've all been there.
Okay.
So we stop the fear before it gets there. Then drop. So it's stop, drop. The second step is drop. Drop into your heart and choose another experience. Say, okay, you know, we've stopped the fear and now we're dropping into the heart. We're saying, you know what? I'm okay. I'm completely safe right now.
Yeah. Okay.
So we have to say that out loud, you know, name your fear. So it's, I'm afraid of whatever, public speaking. Right now I'm afraid of calling that person out and asking them for a date. Right now I'm afraid of calling that new prospect and asking for the order. You have to name your fear. So speak it out loud, so then it gets out of the body.
Okay.
That's step number three. So we've visualized a stop sign. We've dropped down into the heart. We've switched the experience to a more joyful one. We've then said it out loud. And the next thing is, what you do is you throw up your arms and say, I've got this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Out loud, right? So three simple words. I've got this.
I've got this.
I've got this.
Yeah.
All our listeners, do it now. I've got this. That's right. It re-empowers us. It puts us back into the driver's seat in that situation, and then we can move forward. And then the last step is you have to move. It's a physiological experience, fear is.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to move your body. So if you're sitting down, stand up. If you're standing up, go for a walk. But your eyes have to move to something that is that is either calming for you or soothing or empowering.
Wow, thank you. And Jaden, finally, how can people connect with you?
People can find me at soultoprofit.com, S-O-U-L-T-O, profit, P-R-O-F-I-T.com. And on that page, I'm offering my free home study course. It's 85 pages. It's worth $197. They can get it for free,
awesome.
Instant access to it. So, yeah, come on over and check it out.
Thank you so much, Jaden. Wow, very valuable information, and thank you. And you certainly deserve to be very successful. Everybody does.
Everyone does.
But you've mastered so much, and we all can. Thank you, Jaden, for delivering
message.
And you have a wonderful...
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. And you have a wonderful day. Everybody, you have a great rest of the week. Bye for now.